I actually really enjoyed waltzing. I've got my very own swamp. I've got a drain. I was starting to feel a little bit claustrophobic. My neighbor's got sheep on it at the moment. When you woke up in the morning, you got in the van and you sharpened your chainsaw in the lights of the Ford Transit van. It was brilliant. It was a vibe that I hadn't encountered since the 1970s. My wife's going to run a bakery, and we drove across the causeway and landed in a slice of heaven. And we just went, sign. It's like it's, this is meant to be.
You're listening to Pop, the History Makers, with me, Steve Blame.
Bish, Derek, last time I talked to you, we were in a bit of a different world.
Very different world.
Yeah, and you were a bit, I think, I mean, there was a sense of frustration. I mean, you were still the ebullient, you know, fish. You were still there, full on, but you were frustrated, weren't you? So tell me where we are from that point a couple of years ago.
Very far ahead. It's a complete new life commitment. Since then, I've just, well, I think as I told you the last time, there was a full intention to retire from the music business, and there was a farewell tour on the horizon, which is still the case. But my wife and I have decided for a complete change in life, and we bought a 30-acre croft in the Outer Hebrides that we're moving to next year.
Where did that come from?
Well, you said it was a long time. So, you know, what do you think? I just stand still, right?
Was, okay, where do well, you, I mean, this croft, tell me what it is exactly.
When was the last time we actually talked?
We talked in 2021, which is, it's about, well, yeah, it's 2 years ago, exactly.
Yeah, well, my mum was in care with us then, and my mum has since gone into a care home in the last couple of months. And last year, my wife and I were looking at the whole shebang here. And it was a case of, my mum was living in our room. We were living in a spare room. And we're going, well, are we going to go back in our room? And there's a lot of ghosts here in the studio, a lot of ghosts, right? And we're going, do we move back into that room again? And we were looking at climate change and the way it was affecting the garden. We were looking at the whole population increase in the area we live in. I mean, when I moved here in 1988, you know, I moved to a farm that was relatively isolated. And now it's like every morning you wake up, there's another 200 houses here. And, you know, it's okay for some. I mean, for somebody living in London to live here, it would be like living in a wilderness. But to me, I was starting to feel a little bit claustrophobic. And, you know, on top of everything else, it was like, you know, I'm a creature of imagination, and I like building things, and I like doing things and putting projects together. And I've run out of space here, right, in the area of the studio and the garden. We've done as much as we can. And so putting all that together, last year, we were going to go for a holiday in Europe and decided against it. And a friend of ours in an island called Bernary in the Outer Hebrides, it's called Keith McIntyre. He did the cover artwork for The Guddler, which was Songs from the Mirror, right? And Keith had been on at us for years. He was at my wedding, and he said, you've got to come up to Bernary. And he describes this wonderful island that was reached by a causeway from South US, and you must come up. And we said, let's go up there, keep our eyes open and our hearts open, and let's just see if we get a sign or we just get a vibe or whatever. And I'd only been up there for, I'd done some touring up there, which you never see a place anyway. And Simone had never been up north. And we drove all the way up to Skye and caught the ferry across from Skye to the North Uist. And we drove across the causeway and landed in a slice of heaven. And my friend's got a converted church there that is now his art studio. And we met up, and I was doing some filming for the Funny Farm Kitchen Garden project that we were running at the time, which was a kind of filming, being in the garden as Simone and I both are. We were kind of filming that and doing bits and pieces, and we were on Bernary in his church, and we went onto the West Beach, which is like one of the most glorious white sand beaches in the world, which was even photographed by the Thai government and used in their travel brochures, and they never told anybody, right? So we're there, and this is a true story. We went to Cayley, right? A Ceilidh Cayley, right? It was a cow shed with a sand floor, and it was an island in North Uist, about 20 minutes away from Bernary, where we were staying with Keith. And it was brilliant. It was a vibe that I hadn't encountered since the 1970s. And the sense of community, the friendliness, the openness, everything, it just appealed to me. And it appealed to both of us. And I was standing outside having a cigarette with my wife and a couple of other people, including one of the musicians from the band that was on a break, right? And I'd never been to Cayley before. The only Cayleys I'd ever been to were Dalkeith High School, like lowland Cayleys, not real ones. This was a proper Cayley, which is a gathering of people. And people talked and music and drink and brilliant. And I'm standing outside and I'm talking to this girl. And I said, you know, and we're going like, so I said, what's your name then? She goes, Cayley, right? And I said, are you kidding me? I mean, Cayley, a Cayley, right? And I was laughing and the music was laughing, right? And I said, so was your dad a fan of the band? And she said, no. She said, my mother fancied the singer, right? And everybody's laughing, right? And the guy said, do you know who this is? I said, I'm actually singing. I give you a name. And I went, wow, it's a sign, right? I just went, this is incredible, right? It's too much a coincidence. And my wife and I drove about for the next 2 weeks, and we went all up and down the Outer Hebrides. And we never had the radio on. We just talked all the time about, could we do this? And lo and behold, while we were there, a croft came up, right? And the croft was right next door to my mate, right? And it was 30 acres with its own white sand beach, right? It's beautiful. And we went, can we do this? You know, and we went, let's go for it. So we put an offer in and it was accepted. And I'm now a tenant of a croft, a 30-acre croft in the island of Bernary in the Hebrides. And we're moving up there next year in 2024. And I've got 30 acres to play with. I've got 9 hectares of it, like about 10, 14 acres, tagged as restoration woodland, as creating a woodland. Because there's a whole project up in the Outer Hebrides about bringing woodland back to the Outer Hebrides. There are trees there, but there's very few. But they want to grow more, so it's like, bam. And I've got a swamp. I've got my very own swamp. I've got a drain. And we're going to put pasture in. My neighbour's got sheep on it at the moment. And my wife's going to run a bakery in what's called in a black house. The black houses are the original buildings from way hundreds of years ago. A lot of them are ruined. I mean, if anybody's ever been up to Highlands, you'll see them. They're just stone, 2 foot stone thick walls. They used to have thatched roofs on them. They're all desolate now. And we've got one in our croft, as well as an archaeological site from the 16th century, right? And we just went, this is magical, right? I wanted to be an archaeologist when I was a kid. Now I've got my own archaeology site in the back garden. It was last done in excavated in 65, right? And I've got a huge mass of land to play about with a wood and create a wood. And going back to my 4 years of forestry study when I was a kid, before I became Fish the musician or singer, right? And my wife runs a bakery. She loves baking and cooking. And, well, you know, it's just perfect. So we're moving up there in 24. And then I do the farewell tour, and then I'll be there full time in 25. You know?
So the farewell tour is really the farewell tour. It's...
Yeah, I mean, there's an idea that, you know, in the winter, because, I mean, we've got no... we've got no stars in their eyes about this. I mean, when I was in forestry, I lived up northeast of Scotland near Buckie, and I did a winter up there. I mean, when you woke up in the morning, you got in the van and you sharpened your chainsaw in the lights of the Ford Transit van, waited for the sun to come up to go and dig trees out of 2 feet of snow to cut them down, right? I mean, I remember what it was like, and I'm okay with that, you know? And at 65, I felt like I needed an adventure, and this is a place where my imagination can be let loose, right? And it's brilliant. And so the farewell tour, yeah, I mean, you know, I'll do the farewell tour, but in the winter, when it comes to the winters, then, you know, we're looking at the idea of going out for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and doing either stand-up or a night with Fish or an acoustic show like I did in the Fish Heads Club tour, and do that for 4 weeks across Europe, stay in hotels, eat in restaurants, see friends that we want to see, and then do that through kind of November, December, and then go for a holiday in January in the sun, and then come back at the end of January and get into the growing season, you know. I mean, we're putting in these things called polycrubs that I'm buying from a firm in Shetland, and I'm in touch with them, and I could be getting involved with development ideas. I can't go any more in more detail about with them. And these polycrubs, they're like polytunnels, except they're like armadillo polytunnels, and they stand 100 mile an hour winds up there, right? And I can grow in there. I mean, when I was at my friend's one last September, it was 28 degrees. So you can grow and using LED lights, which is another thing I want to bring up there, and automatic irrigation systems, automatic ventilation systems that I'm talking about with Shetland Polycrub, and with all that, and a big steading, put a big walled garden in, and tie that in with rainwater harvesters, and we're looking at putting turbines up, and we become completely self-sufficient right off the grid, right?
That's amazing. I mean, because of climate change and because of agricultural developments, because of climate change as well, there are presumably these sort of opportunities where you can now get round the weather in a way.
I mean, this is what the whole thing is. It's a completely different type of existence, and it's like it's something that excites me. And someone and I have been working at a kitchen garden here, but it's just less than an acre here, although there's probably about half an acre of actual growing space. But we're just taking that and applying everything we've learned in the last 10 years or so, and taking it up there, bringing my forestry experience up there, and then I can write my autobiography up there. I can do writing, and it's amazing. It's the whole area. I mean, in the Outer Hebrides, there are so many creatives, cinematographers, photographers, artists, writers, poets. There's so many people up there. Like, it's incredible. And it's people leaving and moving up there. I feel I shouldn't be talking too highly about it. I should be saying it's rubbish. Don't even bother coming. It rains every day. But it's going to be a harder existence than we've got here, but it's one that I relish. And we're building a new house up there that's kind of applied to the environment it's going to be situated in. But it's great. I mean, in the future, I mean, I can walk out my front door with my wife, and we can walk down, to and basically we walk out the front door, down our field, right? Open our gate, cross a public road onto our beach, right? And it's a white sand beach. It's gorgeous, right? And it's just a completely new lifestyle. And am I going to miss the music business? Nah.
What I love about it is that, I mean, because we're the same age, effectively, that having a new challenge at this age is a really inspiring and wonderful thing, and it keeps you alive. I mean, that's the bottom line of it. It really makes you feel alive and keeps you alive.
You got it. You got it, and I wanna. And I'm going back to a sense of community. It's a sense of community that I used to remember when I was a kid, right? Where people look after each other. There's a lot of communication. Everybody helps each other out and things. I mean, we own a piece of this thing, or we have access to a thing called the Macca, which is like a it's a community it's community land that's down in the west near the West Beach. And in the autumn when they harvest and things, everybody gets involved and comes down and they help with the balers. At 65-year-old, I'll probably be driving a tractor, but but yeah, I mean, it's that. It's just it's an incredible feeling, and they're just beautiful people up there. And I really respect the place that we're going to, and I really want to be part of it.
I mean, one thing that I think maybe that really helped you was the I know the Vigils End tour couldn't go international, but you did eventually manage to record that tour at Leamington Spa. And maybe that, and because it was really successful for you, maybe that tour showed that you could, as long as you came up with an idea in the future to do something, you could always go out and do something very specific because you have such a wealth of material from your background.
I mean, we put at the moment we've got another kind of year and a half. I mean, we won't be moving up there till the summer of next year. And the idea is to start the tour up there. If we can get all the building done that we want to get done, then the idea is to actually bring the band up, rehearse up there, do our warm-ups up in the Outer Hebrides, and then move out and do 6 weeks to 8 weeks touring in Europe and the UK. But I mean, you know, in 21, it was a different vibe. I mean, when I went out, I mean, you know, okay, we were coming out of lockdowns, and you know, and there was still the threat of COVID in the air, and it wasn't an enjoyable tour. I mean, you know, I was in a bubble all the time. It was like, you know, bus to dressing room, you know, backstage all day, do gig, get back on bus, next gig, repeat, repeat, repeat. And it wasn't enjoyable at all. And it's a case of, you know, the farewell tour is going to be the last of the electrics. It's going to be the last of my tour bus ventures and things, you know. And it's the right time. You know, I mean, you know, I said back in 2015, there's a sell-by date and all, and I don't want to push it. You know, I don't want to become, you know, I don't want to be in a position where it's not fun anymore, right? And that's where in 21 it wasn't fun. And the farewell tour, I will have fun because I know it's the farewell tour. And you know, we've got a set list that's going to be, it's going to change every night. You know, I mean, I've already talked to Steve Vance, who's my bass player, about this, you know. But I mean, this year and in the next is sorting out the catalogue. I mean, as you said, I mean, Vigil's End, the live album came out, which is brilliant. I love it. And it's a great, you know, although, as you said, we never played it in Europe. I mean, people can get it because it's got Dolby Atmos mixes, which I think are going to be the future, right? We got that out. Then I've got new triple album box vinyl sets, A Feast of Consequences. Callum Malcolm has remixed the 13 Star album, and the remix is stunning, right? Stunning, right? And then we've got I've got 13 Star, the deluxe CD Blu-ray version, and then that comes out, I think, at the end of August. And then I've got Vigil in a Wilderness of Mirrors and Internal Exile, my first two albums that we're putting out on vinyl and on deluxe issues that will hopefully be out in January, which will be sold and they will be passed all the way through until August. And after that, we change the way we do things and we move up there. We move the catalogue to another company and then we just work it from there, you know? But it's, yeah, so you know, it's all planned out, you know, whether it all been the best plans of mice and men after gang of glee, as is often said, right? But yeah, it's a cunning plan.
The only thing I really know about that, I mean, obviously I've been up there, but that when I was very young, but the only thing I know about the Outer Hebrides really is that the SAS train there, because it's the
No, they don't.
toughest.
No,
They
they don't.
do, don't they? That's, I'm sure I read
No.
that.
No, I mean, I know there's some places that, like, you know, that I know the army trains up there, but yeah, I mean, it's you know, the weather changes every 20 minutes, you know, and I like that, and I like wind and rain, you know. I don't, you know, I'm not one of these go, oh my God, it's raining. It's like, you know, it's cool, you know, you deal with it. That's the environment you choose to live in, and you know, we're not buying a holiday home, we're moving up there permanently, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, okay, with all the stuff that you're going to be growing and what you're going to be doing on this craft, how does it fit in with the wider community and what they do there?
There is no bakery on the island for a kickoff. My wife is going to become a bigger star than I am, right? Right. Every time I've ever mentioned someone's running a bakery, a bakery, a bakery. It's like a big. We'll be there, right? It's going to be great. She's going to become more popular than I am, right? But I mean, I've got, you know, if with music, I mean, I can reinvent myself and just, you know, go down the Leonard Cohen route or whatever. And there's some really talented musicians up there, some great bands up in the Outer Hebrides. And you know, there's people I've already got to know up there. And you know, it might be a case of, you know, putting together a collective, which, you know, I can spearhead in a way, but you know, it's just different. It's got to be fun, you know. And the music business is not fun anymore, right? I mean, even touring, I mean, you know, I mean, I've got no inkling to spend, you know, my shadow years, you know, like I said, on a tour bus. I don't want to do that. I don't have to do that, right? It's my choice, right? I know some people will get upset about it and go, oh, well, you know, you're not going to do it anymore. But it's, you know, hey, come up the bakery, buy a roll. My wife will autograph it. Autograph buns, right?
I think what I said before, what is really brilliant, and I really get that because it's something that I really feel, because I've become, you know, I've really full-time gone into writing and I really enjoy it, that when you decide on some new passion and when you go for it, it really wakes you up and it changes you and it gives you a new perspective and you feel full of energy again and you feel like you've got a life ahead of you rather than a life behind you.
Yeah.
And I think that must be the same for you, and it was for me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, up there I've got, you know, the autobiography that I've been talking about writing for ages. I now have the time to do it, you know, because I'm not going to be dealing with all this fiff-faff music business, you know. And, you know, I don't have to deal with all that stuff. And you know, I mean, I think, you know, lockdown, you know, the one of the things that got me in lockdown was that, you know, I realized just how fast a pace my life was running at. You know, I've often said, like, it was like, you know, when lockdown happened, you went from doing a foxtrot to a waltz, you know. And I actually really enjoyed waltzing, right? And suddenly I was going out into my garden and I was seeing things that I'd never seen before. They were there all the time that I'd never seen before, right? And that's the kind of pace of life that exists up in the Outer Hebrides and on Bernary, where the island. There's only 138 people on the island, right? You know, and it's but that pace of life, that slowed down pace of life, where you appreciate life for what it is. You know, you're not chasing bucks all the time and stuff. You know, we've got, you know, I'm not, you know, a multimillionaire by any stretch of the imagination, but we've got enough from the sale of this house to get ourselves, you know, in a position up there where we can create an environment and a lifestyle that doesn't need much maintenance. You know, we can just be us, you know. And, you know, my wife Simona said to me, she said, you know, after the first visit there, she said, "I've never seen you so happy." Right. And I think, you know, that, as everybody knows, that's important in your life. You know, you've got to be happy. You know?
I think that's amazing. I think it's wonderful. It's really, really fascinating news. And I'm really glad that I get to hear that, because last time I really had the feeling that you were sort of a bit disappointed, isn't the word, but you were a bit fed up with life. You know what I mean? You'd had enough of what was happening and you were looking for something new, and you seem to have found it, which is really brilliant. And the good thing for anyone watching this is that all your music is still available on your website, and they can see that. And that, I presume, is where the tour dates will come up. And as soon as they come up, I'll put them out as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, we spent a bit, we had to shut the mail order down for about 2 months this year. That was, we had to completely rethink the fishmusic.scot website. And we got it all set up in time. Again, this is all part of the big run out, you know. I mean, fishmusic.scot will still be there. The catalogue will still be available, but I just won't be available on a bus, you know. And it's, you know, like I said, if I come out, it'll be acoustic. You know, I'll still go out and do stages. I mean, but I don't have to go out and play to 1,000 people. I don't have to be, you know, sitting on a double-decker tour bus, you know, on a 14-hour trip from, you know, Oslo to Gothenburg or whatever this time. You know, I could just do what I want, you know, and I can go out and I play at 300 people or whatever and have a laugh, you know, and that's what it's got to be. It's got to be fun, Steve, you know, it has to be fun. I don't want to get, it became a drudge, you know, in 21. I mean, I think having to deal with Brexit and having to deal with COVID and deal with everything else, and I'm going, and you're going out and it's becoming more and more difficult, you know. It's like, why am I doing this? Why do I have to do this? And the answer was, I don't have to do this, right? And the funny thing is, right, I think I might have told you this before, I had my palm read way back before I joined Marillion, right? And it was a little Iranian guy who was quite acclaimed at the time, right? And he said I'd have three careers. And he said, there's one you're in now, which was forestry, right? And he said, you're about to move in another one, right? And we're talking 6 months later, I was in Marillion, right? You're about to move in another one. And he said, this is going to make you world famous and you're going to become a famous person. And it's a completely different career from, you know, what you've done before, completely different. But he said, then you're going to have a third career. And he said, on the third career, you're going to maybe upset, or you will upset a lot of people, right? By leaving your second, but your third career is going to take you to another level, right? And I say, and here I am, this is my third career at 65.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. But just think about one thing. How many grown-up women in the world are there named Kaylee?
Well, I know there's one in Bernary.
That's brilliant.
I'll tell, I'll tell you the other thing. Like I said, I'm a great believer in signs and coincidences and things, okay? And we were up there, and where our croft drains, right, it drains down into this loch that's at the bottom of this hill that's got three golden eagles on it, right? Beyond that hill is the Atlantic, and the next landmass is America, right? And it's like, well, there's a loch at the bottom of the hill, and we're kind of going on the loch, and it kind of, in the winter, it kind of, it gets to about 5 feet deep, 6 feet deep, and the summer, it drops down about a foot or so, you know? And we were looking at the map. There's a little local bistro. There's no pubs on the island, by the way. It's not a pub. But it's,
bakery and a pub?
Bakery and a pub. Perfect. Pies and beer. The ultimate. The ultimate. But anyway, there's a little bistro that's run by friends of ours, right? I mean, I tell you what, I've got more, Simone and I have got more friends up in Bernary now than we've got in Addington, right? That's where it's at, right? But down on the side, on the wall of the bistro stroke little shop that's on the island, right? There's a map of the island, and we were looking at it, and it was like, oh, look at that, and we're looking at, and then we looked, and the loch has got a name, right? And I didn't know it had a name until I saw this map. And the loch is called Tara Loch, right? My daughter is called Tara, and Simona's daughter, one of Simona's daughters, is called Tara. And we just went, sign. It's like, it's, this is meant to be, you know? And there's been so many that, you know, and my wife and I are just so looking forward to making the move up next year, you know?
Oh, brilliant.
The Bentley's looking for a recording studio stroke residential house with an acre of really great vegetable gardens. Like, watch the market in April, because it'll be up.
Brilliant. Listen, I really wish you a lot of luck. When you're up there, hopefully the internet is good enough that you can show me around on a mobile phone outside. That would just be genius to see where you move to and what it's about.
This is the thing. I mean, I still run Fish and Friday. You know, Fish and Friday still works, you know, nearly every Friday. I take days off every now and again. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, this one, I mean, I've already had people come at us asking us to do a kind of, you know, a kind of return to the shadow or thing, or escape to the shadow thing, but we've kind of turned it down. But I mean, you know, I can easily see us doing blogs from up there, and you know, and there is internet. You know, I mean, I'll probably have to put a Starlink in or something like that to make sure that I've got it on a steady basis. But I mean, yeah, I mean, there's so many opportunities. It's incredible. It's, and like I said, you know, I've suddenly been given, you know, at this stage of my life, a blank piece of paper to just let my imagination just run riot on. And it's great, you know?
Brilliant. I think at that point, that's such a great sentence to end on. And I wish you and your wife so much love and luck. And yeah, particularly success with the bakery up there. And I'll speak to you again when you're up there.
Brilliant. Thanks.
Okay, Fish. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Good, mate. Take care.